God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perhaps somebody shouldn't have cast the first stone. This is Wretched Radio. All right, Jimmy. Busted my chops for preaching a bit of a topical sermon on Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. You're preaching this Sunday.
I am.
You're going, can I call it home or is this home now?
Yeah, I'm going back to my hometown.
Okay. Yeah. You want to put it that way?
That's right.
Does it still feel like home?
No. And I don't say that in a bad way, but my life is here now.
Yeah.
But I still love that place. I'll always love it.
So you hate the volunteers?
No, I've always hated them. I
know that. All right. So you're going back to preach.
Yes.
And what is your text, Jimmy?
Galatians 4, 8 to 11.
Uh-huh.
Where we're tied.
Close enough. I get confused with Paul. That's right. All the time.
Paul is telling the Galatians, basically, why are you going back to the elementary things?
Yeah, the basic stuff.
Yeah, I feel like I've labored over you in vain.
Ouch.
Yeah,
because they're going back to working.
That's right.
They're going back to circumcision. Mm-hmm. They're going back perhaps to Jewish rituals. And he wants to liberate them.
Correct.
And you're being inspired for that what supposed expository sermon is to deliver because?
Well, there's a lot of people being beaten up that I hear. You know, they're being led back to the law. You know, they're
okay, but okay, I know what you're expressing. But this is tricky business. Mm. Now, it's not just tricky business for the preacher or teacher. It's tricky business for all of us because there is, I think that there's ditches. It's riding the Christian horse that is the challenge when it comes to the issue of sanctification, when it comes to the issue of assurance and obedience. You can easily fall off into a ditch of legalism. It's like, ugh. And by the way, a pastor can do that to you. Hey, what's the matter? Why aren't you reading more? Why aren't you studying more? Why aren't you going to church more, giving more? Okay. Oh, well, okay. That's true. But what does that feel like? I think we need to remember when we are preaching to the sheep, which is what church is for, that's just not the way a shepherd treats the sheep. He tries to bring them into a green pasture beside still waters. He tries to reveal to them areas where, hey, this could be something that you're missing out on. And furthermore, I think the reason that so often that we both hear and deliver commands in a way that makes it feel like it's like, I thought Christianity was about liberty, Daddy-O, and this just feels so heavy. I think one of the reasons is because we tend to forget what God's laws are. Do they condemn us when we break them? As an unbeliever, absolutely. But they reflect the character and the nature of God. You want to know what is just, right, perfect, holy, good? Look at the laws of God. That is what the laws show us. So then we got to take another step. So keeping the laws, What should that, I'm going to use the word, feel like? What should that feel like? And I think the preaching that makes it feel like a burden or a heavy lift maybe needs to adjust the way it's presenting those correctives. And it might be that you need to correct the way that you hear those commands, because the commands of the Bible don't go away. They don't go away, which, by the way, is the other ditch we'll get to in just a moment. But the ditch of feeling like, I gotta do. Well, here's the tricky part. You do gotta do. But why should you do the do's that you do? And the answer is because it's the best thing for you. It is the best thing. When I'm telling you, I don't think that there's a Christian who has ever resisted temptation. And afterwards, when the dust settled, the temptation wasn't there, goes, you know, I really wish I had sinned. Because it's the lesser thing. Sin is the lesser thing. Obedience is the better thing. That's what the laws are. The better thing. As a mirror, a curb, and a guide. It curbs our behavior so that we don't go off into a land of licentiousness and we find ourselves besmirched and we're the prodigal that's in the pigsty and then we have to return. That's, the law keeps you from that because it's good. The law is good. The law is good if it is used rightly. And I think sometimes some preaching could use some correctives. And I think, Jimmy, that's, you've been hearing the preaching that just makes you feel like you're getting pistol whipped.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just more of the, you know, do more, be better.
It's true.
Well, yes.
See, and now, because otherwise you go in the other ditch.
But there's a fundamental misunderstanding with that because we as Christians, we're not, and I'm very careful how I say this, we're not living for Christ. We should be living from Christ.
Okay.
He indwells us now. You know what I mean? We're not.
But you can't take away the four. That's there too.
No, it is. But the motivation of why we're doing.
Totally agree.
That's the line I'm trying to draw here.
Totally agree. There's a difference between duty and delight.
Right.
Now, make no mistake about it. God is pleased with duty. That is a better choice than being disobedient. But the preference, if you will, is out of delight. You feel that way too. When your kid does something because you scold them or maybe you threaten them, they do it and it's like, okay. But you come home and they mowed the lawn without you asking. They trimmed and the hedges look, why'd you do that, son? Because I love you, Pop. Oh, yeah. Your heart swells. I think that that's pretty fair comparison.
Yeah, I think if any spiritual system that's going to make your standing with God depend on your performance, that's just not the gospel.
But see, an individual who preaches sometimes kind of harshly that way would probably affirm what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is tricky.
Yeah.
Because it is very easy then to swing the pendulum onto the other side of the horse. Okay, my illustration just went from pendulum to equine, so I got a little bit goofed up, but antinomianism. Hey, just rest in God. Just rest, man. Just rest. Now, is that statement wrong, just rest? And I would say the answer is no, it's not wrong. You do want to rest in God. And in fact, I would even go this far. When you're feeling like your love is not what it should be for God, you need to rest in Him because when you are not faithful, He is. When you're unloving, He still loves and you need to rest in that. But that doesn't mean you get to recline and never get out of the lazy boy of love. I really should think about my illustrations a little bit more before I spew them. Be careful that you don't go one to the and ping pong. Don't become a ping pong Christian. I think this is the Christian walk. And I think where so many Christians find themselves sometimes just stagnating, perhaps, is because you fall off on one side and you draw conclusions. Or you fall off on one side, overcorrect, and go to the other side. Legalism and antinomianism are both ditches that you do not want to be in.
Yeah, and I think we do it. Sometimes we're not even led there. I think we just do it because the law feels familiar.
It does. Yeah. I think that was the Galatian problem. They right. sense, I got to do something here mm-hmm. to earn this. We feel that out of our pride-filled heart, but that's not the gospel. The law should drive that out of us. It should crush us. It should kill us. It should help us to understand, no, you can't do it. It has been done for you. The Christian life, possibly. Can I put any more contingencies on this? The best takeaway from this is recognize how easy it is to go to one side or the other, but don't think that you've fallen off of the horse, that you're suddenly not saved. It just means, okay, I need a corrective here. That's all I need. That's all. most times. Now, are there times when somebody might present themselves saying, hey, listen, I've fallen off into the horse of legalism where I'm starting to really think I can work my way into God's favor. Okay, we got a problem. I think that that does happen. But I think for the individual who's like, well, I just feel like I need to do something for God to make him happy. Okay, you need a corrective. You need a corrective. That Paul was correcting the Galatians in that regard. You think that you're earning it. Now, he did it pretty strongly, especially to those who were promoting the legalistic procedure that they were compelling people to go under the knife to earn God's favor. But I think for most typical Christians, our issue tends to be we just need to be reminded, hey, bro, hey, come on, get back over here. And the same thing is true. If you've maybe gotten lax with your love, pursuing God is the best thing you can pursue. And if you've been negligent in that regard, then you're being lazy and you need to be corrected too. But that doesn't mean that you are condemned. The Christian life, it's just a constant reorienting, just making sure that your compass is right so that you don't fall off of the horse. This is Wretched Radio.
Ever feel like you're watching the culture shift beneath your feet? Yeah, you're not alone, and you're not without allies either. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled a powerhouse team of biblical voices to help you navigate these challenging times. From Tim Challies to Brad Bigney to Adam Tyson and Greg Gifford, our fellows deliver daily content that transforms confusion into clarity. Whether you're tackling marriage challenges, parenting questions, or personal growth, Fortis Institute is ready with biblically grounded wisdom. We're not just offering commentary, we're providing a comprehensive toolkit for living boldly in an increasingly complex world. Through our daily podcasts and video content and live events, we're equipping believers to stand firm without wavering. And if you want to be part of something bigger, join the Fortis community today. Visit FortisInstitute.org and discover why thousands are turning to Fortis Institute as their trusted source for biblical wisdom. Because when the world seems to be turning upside down, we remain steadfast. It's Fortis Institute, where we're standing firm and standing together.
For 25 years, Fortis Institute has been building something powerful, a reservoir of biblical truth deep enough to change lives and strong enough to transform churches. But we've realized something very profound. Truth was never meant to be contained. It was meant to flow freely, reaching every single person, every hungry heart, every searching mind, and that's why we're doing something unprecedented. We're breaking the dam. Truth Unhindered isn't just a campaign name, it's our vision for the future. It's about removing every barrier between solid teaching and those who need it the most. We have extraordinary plans for the second half of 2025, but to make this moment possible, we need your partnership now more than ever. Right now, through the end of June, every gift you give will be matched. Your generosity today becomes a flood of truth tomorrow. Just visit FortisInstitute.org/truth right now before June 30th and help us break the dam and let the truth flow unhindered. FortisInstitute.org/truth.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God. but everything we read is part of God working out his plan for the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, what are you doing tomorrow? It's not midweek. It's Tuesday. Your calendar should be open for a Fortis Forum. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Greg Gifford, his book, almost out. Won't it be nice when it comes out? So I can just stop telling you it's coming. And it's actually here. Lies My Therapist Told Me. So helpful. It is going to bring clarity to the Christian church in understanding mental illness, psychotropic medication, what to do with labels. Thoroughly biblical. It'll be out May 27th. You can pre-order it and you can actually get the audio version. I knew that because I was listening to Greg's Transform podcast yesterday and he mentioned it. He was talking about religious scrupulosity. And I want him to do about 20 more programs on that because I think it is a massive issue inside of the church. What he delivered in the one episode was like, give me more. That's how good the Transform podcast is. And he was talking about the audio version of the book. So he must have spent hours reading the book. Hours. So that you can listen to it. So whatever your vehicle is for downloading awesome biblical counseling content, you can find the book at fortisinstitute.org/lies. He's doing a it's not a webinar. We don't call it a webinar anymore because it's not a webinar. Well, a webinar is a different thing.
Right.
Keep up with the lingo, daddy. Oh, you need to be hip about all of these technological things.
Give me the deets.
Does it sound that bad? I've been using that so much lately and it's like, wow, does that sound dorky? Here's the deets on the Fortis Forum, not a webinar. Just go to fortisplus.org. No, Fortis Instant. Where did we?
Fortis Plus.
Yeah, Fortis Plus. That's what I said. fortisplus.org. It's absolutely free. Life without the numb. What to do about psychotropics, mental health diagnoses. It's going to be skimming the surface of his book. By the way, we've got another 10 series lecture called Life Without the Numb with Greg Gifford. Here's a little secret for you. Coming in the future, I don't know if I've told you this, but we want to close the store and stop selling stuff. Doesn't that just sound ludicrous? No, it sounds delightful to me. It sounds joyful to me. We want to stop selling stuff. Now, we've got a match campaign going on right now called Truth Unhindered. We want to get our resources. We give at least 90% of our stuff away, but that other 10% are bigger resources. We continue to sell for the funding of the ministry. We just want to stop that, but that's why we've got this Truth Unhindered campaign going on so that you can, well, help us give stuff away. Sorry for the crude language. We've got to replace that revenue from store sales. And we are hoping that the generosity of God's people will fill that gap so we can give it away and go on an aggressive campaign to find churches around the globe and just get that stuff pumped in there. And thank you if you've contributed to that. It's a match campaign. Every dollar you give, it gets doubled. You can do that transaction at Fortis Institute, not Fortis Plus, fortisinstitute.org/truth, which is different than the book, which is /lies. Now, that's kind of ironic. We got that going on. Hey, you know what that means? Oh, I think that's a God moment. You know what?
A God wink.
Oh, man, Scylla. Right now, what do they call it? A hobby horse. when you kind of get an issue and it's just like, you just got to bang this thing. The purity of the gospel and just cleaning up our evangelical lingo. We put out a video last week and it was walking through a gospel presentation at one of these events that purports to have thousands of people getting saved and baptized. Do we want that? We absolutely do. I notice there's a lot of chatter these days. There's a revival going on around the globe and in America and on the campuses. Well, I want that. I really do. Wouldn't that be awesome to watch? Even from preachers that you're maybe not nuts about, they're just not your particular cup of tea. It's like, cool, man. People are getting saved everywhere and they are getting baptized publicly. They jump into a fountain in downtown Philadelphia. They just want to get baptized. We'd all rejoice at that, but we want to make sure that we are indeed able to rejoice because the gospel is being rightly presented without the lingo, without the baggage, without all the jargon, and without all of the assumptions. That's what that video was about. We assume too much when we present the gospel. And we assume that people understand what sin is, the consequences of sin. If those things are not explained, people, you know, they might be like Frank Sinatra and they have some regrets, but too few to mention. They just, okay, yeah, I made some decisions. I wish I hadn't done it, kind of hurt my family. Well, that ain't sorrow over sin. Sorrow over sin is because it's an offense against God. And if we're not explaining the judicial nature of the gospel, I don't think we're explaining it at all. Now, the trick for us is because we know the gospel, we can hear a gospel presentation and go, oh, there it is. Yeah, okay, there. Etch a sketch your brain. Pretend you don't know any of those things and see if it makes sense. And most times, it doesn't. And I don't know why we are so accepting of subpar gospel presentations. This is the core. This is the basics. This would be like going to the mechanic and saying, can you change my oil? And he describes it, but he doesn't seem to know. It's not entirely everything that encompasses an oil change. You'd be like, I think I'm going to go down the street. Why do we give so many pastors a pass when they aren't presenting the gospel rightly? Well, they could get, you know, let's not be so nitpicky. They could get saved. Yeah, they could. But come on. We expect people to answer questions rightly on a test. Otherwise, what do? Well, we used to give red marks and, you know, give them lower grades. But that was before postmodernism and the self-esteem movement kicked in. But we understand that there is, it needs to be at a certain level for it to be truthful and to be accurate and to be right. We just have to get better at that with the gospel. And furthermore, I would say this, there is a difference between apologizing the gospel and presenting the gospel. Apologetics serve a presentation on the gospel. You and I aren't supposed to be apologists per se. You say, well, wait a second, aren't we supposed to be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us? Yes, we are. As we share with them and present the gospel to them, they ask questions, we'll defend it. We'll answer those questions, but that's different than presenting the gospel. Let me see if I can make up an example of what I'm talking about here, because I do believe that this is important, because I've even seen this with people's comments about these presentations online where it's like, hey, look at the gospel was presented. No, the gospel was explained. The gospel was defended against inquisitors of the gospel. But it wasn't proclaimed. So a difference would be something like, so you're telling me that God thinks that we're like totally depraved? And the apologist would say, well, let's just take a look at some of the evidence. Look at World War II. Look at the atrocity of those people. I can't use the N-word because that gets you in trouble on the internet machine. See, that's what we're capable of. And you go, well, okay, they explained it. Now, but that's defending the gospel, if you will, at least the doctrine of total depravity. But that's different. An explanation of a doctrine or the gospel is different than declaring it. Paul reasoned with people from the scriptures. It's the word dialegomai. He talked them through it. It wasn't like, okay, I'm not sure you're going to get this because you can't see it. But defending the gospel, apologizing for the gospel, it's doing it like this. I'm telling you that the gospel is really reasonable because justice is super important. We all appreciate justice. This is defending the gospel. This is presenting the gospel. You're leaning in and you're pressing. Total depravity. You better believe we are totally depraved. I know my... Well, you must be something really unique because I know my own wicked heart. Let's just open up the cavity, the recesses of your heart and see what is lurking there. What do we find? Lying and lusting and cheating, sexism, racism, angry thoughts about people. Look at that. That's, dude, you got the same problem I've got. We're totally depraved. And what must a holy God do with totally depraved sinners? He must punish. We want that. The problem is we qualify for that. Would you like some great news? Jesus saves us from that. He, if you will, became totally depraved for us that we might receive his righteousness and be forgiven by God, that he would look upon totally depraved sinners and rescue us and justify us and adopt us and ultimately glorify us. Why don't you want to follow that God? That's presenting the gospel. There's a difference. We've got to get this thing right. So I fear I might be riding that hobby horse for a bit. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.